Hello, my beautiful people, and welcome to another Real Talk with Umay Maloum and Rita Nasseri. This is my first guest. I'm so excited to start inviting more people into the podcast so you can learn from them. Today, we're in Tahtah Colors, an amazing spot to film, to produce, to get work done. And I'm so excited to talk about how to create your dream life with Rita Nasseri. Rita, I've seen you do amazing content. I started following you before I even created content. I saw you travel the world. I saw you become an entrepreneur. I saw you basically build your dream life. When I was watching your content, of course, so many things intrigued me from your travels. But one thing that really stood out to me was when you decided, and I'm not sure if this was a decision just like this, but you decided to shave my head.
I knew it.
To me, that was incredible because it was something that I had thought about. You know, I was like, should I do it to feel empowered? And I know that you're all about women empowerment and feeling comfortable in your body and, you know, fighting societal standards and ideals. So was it something that was a decision just like that? Was it something that you thought about for a long time? How did it happen?
Well, I did think about it for a while. Okay. Like for a year, I had these beautiful pictures of, you know, women with shaved head. And every time I would watch, you know, some videos and I would be like, oh my God, I really want to do it. Mm. But I never really got the courage to go for it. Yeah. And one day I woke up. I don't know what happened that day. Mm. I didn't know I was going to shave my head that day.
Okay. Literally. So there was no date to it.
There was no date to it. I was just, you know, in a phase where I was really discovering actually who I was, you know. And I was honestly in a really good environment with a great community, you know, surrounded with people that would support me every day in finding my truth. And so I think that's why I felt so comfortable going for that. So I woke up in the morning and I was like, okay,
today's the day.
Today I'm gonna shave my head like this. Literally, I was in my bed, and then I woke up. I started looking for scissors. I didn't have scissors. Oh, I don't know, something bigger than me was driving me that day.
Yeah,
I was not in my body. I was not, you know, I was not making my own decisions basically consciously. You know,
yeah.
I mean, not 100%. And I was looking for scissors. I didn't find scissors.
Okay.
I was like, okay, let's go. I went out, went to the supermarket, got scissors. Yeah, I know, it's so crazy. Got scissors, got back home. I put my phone there, started recording, and I started cutting my hair. Mm-hmm. And the aim was to, in the beginning, I was like, okay, it's cool, it's nice. Mm-hmm. And I want to donate my hair as well.
Beautiful.
To, you know, associations that make wigs for children with cancer. So that's basically was the first, you know, aim. That was my idea. But then I realized that it was much, much, much bigger than this, you know, on a personal level. Yeah. When I shaved my head, it's as if I let go of my old me.
Wow.
You know, like I removed an entire identity that was built around my hair, the way my hair looked like, because the hair is like half of the, you know, woman's beauty.
That's the thing, yeah.
Exactly. And my hair, you know, it was straight, long. I was like the girl next door, you know,
yeah,
like
typical,
the typical
switch,
cute and sweet girl. And everybody like would see me, for example, you know, the kind of music I was listening to. I mean, I still listen to. They would see me listening to techno or something. They'd be like, oh, you don't look like a girl listening to techno. Mm. You look so like, you know,
innocent. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, people have weird, you know, like boxes in their mind. They always have to put you in a box. But like, yeah, so that was the thing. And I used to always be judged because of my, you know, how I looked like. And at some
in
point,
what way?
I was like, the way, you know, like people see you, they according to how you dress, how you talk, what school you went to, who is your family, what car you're driving, whatever, you know, rings you're wearing, they would put you in some boxes they have in their mind. And I was tired of that. And fortunately, I was in that community that I told you about.
Supportive, loving.
Very supportive.
You felt like
people.
You could be yourself.
So yeah, that's actually what helped me to really do that. So woke up, you know, did that big transformation. And yeah, I basically got to know myself way more after that.
Yeah, I'm sure that takes off, like you said. I mean, obviously society puts a standard for us women to have long hair. And if you don't have long hair, then you're put into another box or you're not feminine enough.
Yes.
How did you feel when you shaved your head? Was there any Regrets, like being truly honest.
No.
Was there any moment where you were like, oh, maybe I don't look that good. Oh, maybe I want my...
You know what happened?
Yeah. I hear it.
My confidence rose, wow. Rise, c'est quoi? Elle a augmenté, évolué de manière exponentielle. Wow. It was an exponential growth in my confidence. It was crazy. So before, I would look at myself, I would judge my, you know, I have like a rounded back, so I'd be like, putain, my back, like, what do I stand like this? I need to be no more, you know, straight. Mm-hmm. Whatever, I would judge myself for little stupid stuff. I have, you know, little spots on my face, whatever, whatever. And sometimes I would wake up feeling like shit. I would put my hair down and then I'm like, okay, thankfully I have my hair. You know, it's making me more beautiful.
Right, right.
But when I shaved my head, there was nothing to hide. There was nowhere to hide anymore.
There was no substitute.
As if I was hiding behind my hair so many times. So yes, basically it helped me in my confidence. I would literally stand in front of the mirror and appreciate every single inch of my being, you know, like that's looking beautiful. At myself and I'm like, oh my God, you know, when you shave your head, basically all your features,
they show a lot more,
it becomes like more obvious.
Yeah.
So I started appreciating my features. I started appreciating my nose, which I was super self-conscious about before.
Wow.
I mean, so many things. Like, yeah. I reconciled with my appearance after I shaved my head. So for me, it was huge.
So it felt like when you shaved your head, you were kind of forced to accept the person that you are and the way that you looked in ways, because you already took off a huge thing that you used to hide with. And now that you removed the thing that you hide with, that you had to look at all the other aspects of yourself.
Exactly. That's my beautiful. Hair for me was huge because everybody used to always tell me, oh my God, you have a beautiful hair. So it was kind of like a huge part of my identity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I did it, I basically did I shed off all the layers of the identities that I got throughout my life. The, you know, like you form your identity according to society,
absolutely.
your you know, upbringing, your parents, the school you go to, whatever information you get to put in your mind that make you shape who you are.
Yeah.
And unless you do the work to really come actually inside and see who you truly are, when you remove all these layers, when you remove Rita, I'm a woman, I am Moroccan, I went to this school, this is my family. So you remove all the layers and then you come back here.
You look at inside your soul.
Inside. I am not this body. Okay, I shaved my head. I don't know. I don't want to be man, woman, you know, Moroccan, whatever. I'm nothing. Now I'm here. I'm a soul. Who am I?
That's beautiful.
Ask yourself this question. Like, a lot of people wouldn't even know how to reply. And so many times, I didn't know how to reply. You would ask me who you are. I would say, oh, I work in whatever.
Yeah. It's,
oh, I was, you know. So you would say something according to your, you know, you would identify yourself by your job, your school, whatever you do in life.
Yeah. And you remove those layers to just see yourself as a soul. That's beautiful. I mean, you said a lot of things that resonates with me. It's true. Like, I get compliments about the curls in my hair and stuff. And I tell myself, what if one day I decided to remove that? Remove that thing that people notice the first, that people put me in a box in. How would I be? And to be honest, I've thought about it, but I don't think I'm ready to do it. I'm really not. I think it's a huge step. But I really do think it's powerful and I respect you for that.
Thank you.
There's another aspect that I noticed is that you don't really wear makeup. I mean, I don't know if
I don't think
you ever wear makeup. And you're absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
But was that a conscious step that you made or did it just come naturally? You were never a makeup girl.
No, I was a huge makeup girl.
Really?
I used to always do my nails. Like, you'd see me when I was 16. You brought, you know, when I was 15 earlier.
Yeah.
When I was 15, 16, 17, I was wearing more makeup than today.
Mm.
When I was in high school, my nails were perfect, always done, you know. So yes, anyways, that's like a huge one. But yeah, I stopped wearing makeup little by little by reconciling with myself.
Mm.
I'm really coming from a old Rita that was so that had zero self-confidence. Zero self-love without knowing it, right? Like, I was not conscious about the fact that I didn't have self-love.
Okay.
And you know, with the huge work that I did, like, so many years, I'm 30 today, and I've been, you know, like, doing the work unconsciously in the beginning, then became conscious. to come into this pure, how am I going to call it? Reconciliation with myself, appreciation of my being outside of how people are going to see it, perceive it, and judge it. Because I know my worth. So yes.
Was it a hard transition? Did you feel any discomfort in the beginning? I feel, and I may be wrong, but because you travel so much and you're such a beach girl, that it may even come naturally. Like, it may not
beach
even be...
girl.
I don't know if I'm
yeah,
right.
I like that.
But it may not even be convenient for you to wear makeup. Like, you know, you just started traveling so much that it was just easier to wake up in the morning and start getting comfortable with your skin. And there's something that you mentioned before about the hair that I feel is called somewhat, it's like exposure therapy. Like, the more that you're scared of something, the more that you're insecure about something, the more you do it.
Yes.
So if you're insecure about acne in your face, stop wearing makeup and start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Was that something that came into your mind?
Yes, it came into my mind. It was not conscious at that point.
Yeah.
Well, it was after a big breakup. For the ones that don't know, I was engaged. Yes,
spill
the tea.
Spill it, tell them.
I know, I was engaged before in a very toxic relationship. So in that relationship, I lost all self-esteem because that person would, you know, every day tell me, you know, oh my God, you have a spot here.
Wow.
Oh my God, this. Oh my God, your nails, whatever. So always, commenting on my appearance. So when I left that relationship, I was completely like broken. I had zero self-love. What happened after this is that all the things, I kind of got rebellious. I have a rebellious mind, rebellious soul, you know?
Definitely.
After this, I decided to stop doing all the things that he was, telling me to do.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this anymore. So that's actually where the first time I stopped wearing makeup.
Powerful.
I did a huge trip. One month I went on a Europe tour. I did France, you know, Switzerland, whatever.
Okay.
And when I went there, I was not wearing makeup. I would just go out and not wearing makeup. And I would be stopped on the road and guys would start talking to me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually cute.
Yes.
Guys are interested in me. You know, at that time, that's how I was valuing my, if I'm actually
glad you
beautiful
pointed that
or
out.
No, because I was still young.
Yeah.
So I was constantly looking for external validation, especially from men, because this is what, they taught us that we have to be as women validated from men. Otherwise, they're not going to pick us up. Otherwise, they're not going to save us and we're going to stay, alone forever, whatever.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
It's a huge one. But yes, so that's actually how I got back my self-confidence by getting hit on by guys, and I was like, okay, I'm not that bad, and I'm not wearing makeup, and I feel like shit, and this fucking cute guy is still like coming my way and be like, hey, like, you're cute, whatever.
So
not for the good reasons, but that helped. And at some point, so my life journey just made me be more and more on that journey to actually come back to myself.
That's really beautiful. Step by step. And like you said, at some points they were unconscious. I feel that too. I think it's really something that's important to say. Maybe not for everybody, but me too, when I started doing self-development, I realized that unconsciously I was doing things like paying attention to my self-talk. And then when I remember when I was really self-conscious, I realized it was just an epiphany. There was a moment where I would tell my friend, oh, this guy's cute, or this girl is beautiful. And my friend would be like, oh no, that person is not beautiful. And it hit me like, wait, so beauty is subjective, everybody has a different opinion of it. So if someone doesn't find me beautiful, that's okay. There are people who find me beautiful. And if I find myself beautiful, that's the most powerful. So it's these kind of little epiphanies that help you to realize that it really doesn't matter that much. And I'm curious.
Perceptions.
Perceptions.
You just got to learn that actually there are different perceptions according to, how you've been brought up, your environment, whatever.
And you don't have to be beautiful to everybody.
Yeah, we're all different.
Absolutely.
Even, smartness, whatever, like people, they judge according to their reality, according to what they have learned, to their references. So that's where actually for me, traveling is very important in your journey. Like For me, everyone has to try at least once in their life to go live abroad.
Yeah.
Go live with another culture, completely different than your own culture. Mm. So then, like, you can get to challenge your own belief system, your own reality, by being with people that actually believe in completely different stuff. Yeah. You know, all the things that actually your parents and your, you know, your family told you that, oh my God, this is not good. If you do this, you're not a good girl, whatever. Mm. You go somewhere else and they have completely different paradigms, you know?
And so when you travel, you get to see different cultures and different way of thinking. And at least at that point, you get to self-reflect and decide, what are my values? You know, you don't just grow up with the values that you grew up in your environment, in your family. You get to really discover yourself and see who you are in general. I agree people should travel abroad. But in general, I feel like if people can't go abroad, at least if you can leave your home, like where you grew up in your family home, that's huge. Like even in self-confidence, I feel like you're able to rebuild yourself in ways that you can't unless you leave your home and start being responsible for your life and for who you are and for what you do. Mm-hmm. And you start becoming more aware of making choices about what you want to do with your life, about who you are. I know you mentioned traveling, cutting your hair, shaving your hair, stop wearing makeup to gain self-confidence. But let's say there are people who can't do that. They're not able to yet, like me, not yet. What would you say are a few things that helped you with your self-confidence? I know you mentioned the stop wanting the validation of men or the attention of men. Can you elaborate on that? What was that like for you?
I think for every person, it would be different. Mm. You know, for me, it was that because it came with that experience of the breakup. And for me, that was the big reference and all of that. Yeah. So I had to actually rebel myself against that. Mm. But I guess, you know, it's going to be different for everyone according to their experience.
That's true.
So to reply to this question, for me, I think it's...
Thank you. What would you say? Would you say, for example, that discovering yourself and building your own routine has helped you with your self-confidence, like making more active choices about what you want to do?
It did. It did, yes. Ouais, tu m'as posé une colle, là. Je suis allée dans mes pensées, je me suis perdue.
Ouais. Mais c'est vrai que c'est difficile. Like, sometimes you gain self-confidence and for you to, like, rethink about what exactly you did to help you with your self-confidence, it can be a little hard.
I mean, I know what I did, you know, but actually, there's no framework. So for me, there's no framework. That's actually what I was looking for.
Yeah.
There's no framework, you know, that is ready. Okay, here's actually what you need to do to gain self-confidence. Mm. You know, it's basically, you know, you have to go. It's a work that you do. It's a practice. When you say, okay, I'm not ready to remove makeup right now. Mm. I'm not ready to whatever, travel, go meet other people. There are a lot of people, they're not able to just be adventurous and be like, okay, I'm just gonna go somewhere and discover a new culture.
Yeah.
So when you're not able to do that, it's fine, but just start actually doing step by step. And for me, the biggest thing that would help and that helped me is to get out of your comfort zone.
I was about to say that.
For me, just getting out of your comfort zone is not accessible for everyone because a lot of people won't become, you know, of course, it's called, you know, you get out of your comfort zone for a reason. It feels very uncomfortable. So for me, the advice would be to start by the little things. Really like start by the little stuff. For example, if you are used to wearing your hair down all the time, start wearing your hair up. I don't know. One day wake up, be like, okay, I'm going to do a ponytail today.
I love that.
That's already huge for some people. Yeah, for some people, right. They're so used to their image because it is a controlled image of what people are going to perceive of them.
Beautiful.
So they will actually try to keep that image because that's actually their identity. Mm. And for them, that's how people perceive them and that's what they can control. But actually, we can never control what people actually think of us, you know.
No matter what you do,
No matter what you do.
Yeah.
But it takes actually a long way to be able to let go of that. But actually it starts by these little steps that you do, you know, maybe put your hair up, maybe, change your clothes, like the way you dress, if you're used to always dressing that way, not even, that's a big one as well for somebody, you know, to change all of that. But, for example, so many people, they live on autopilot. That's absolutely. Like 90% of the society lives absolutely. On autopilot, right? Try to be conscious of your acts every single day. That's what I would say to someone, to someone that wants actually to start getting out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
If you bring consciousness to your daily activities that you do brainlessly, and you'd be like, okay, I'm gonna maybe do this differently. When I wake up in the morning, usually I brush my teeth, I go dress, and then I watch a little bit Instagram, and then I go to work. Try to do something different. This morning, I'm going to incorporate something, or I'm going to change, you know, instead of, brushing my teeth, I'm going to go maybe stretch a little bit before. I don't know.
Yeah.
But just bringing that little, you know, consciousness into those brainless acts that you do every day already gives you a little self-consciousness about what you do.
Because you're more in control. You choose what you want to do. You're not just living on automatic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
No, I love it. You said that there's no framework, and you're absolutely right. Because I feel like when people ask, how can I get confidence? They're often looking for like a magic formula. Hey, please help me. I want to be confident tomorrow. Like, tell me what I can do so tomorrow I can wake up confident. But you're right. I feel like even in the steps that you took, the main theme is getting uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you get uncomfortable, you challenge yourself. And the more you challenge yourself, you learn about yourself. And the more you get uncomfortable, you start getting more prouder of yourself when you're doing things different. So I feel like that's the basis. Start getting uncomfortable. And like you said, it can be different for everybody. Like you really can't put a brief to it, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Know that to get confident, you have to do things that are uncomfortable. And now the person would have to ask themselves, what are the things that make me uncomfortable? Let me start with small steps so I can start challenging myself a little bit.
Yes, totally.
Beautifully. I know you mentioned getting out of really toxic relationships. Mm. We're not going to get into that today.
Damn.
But I know I've heard the story. I know it was really toxic.
Yeah.
I know it was really hard.
Another one.
Oh, another one.
Oh, my bad. That's the one I told you about last time. That was,
Okay, girl, your heart, is your heart okay?
I'm very okay.
Yeah, now I know.
I learned a lot through my past relationships. Mm. You know, at every relationship, I unlocked a new version of myself.
Yeah.
So they were all beautiful mirrors.
Yeah, they taught you a lot. I mean, I'm sure they were hurtful, but they taught you a lot.
A lot.
That's one of the questions I get a lot on my Instagram. A lot of people, I don't want to say mostly girls because I've gotten a lot of men too, which I was quite surprised about. But I love that men were able to be vulnerable with me and text me and be like, hey, how do I get out of this toxic relationship? I know it can be really complicated because when you're in a toxic relationship, it feels like you don't have logic. And I'm sure you're one that experienced that. You're blinded by it. What would you tell yourself when you were going through that? What would you have liked to hear? What advice would you have liked to know? So you can maybe just at least wake up earlier or know the red flags to really pay attention to. What would you say to someone who's going through a toxic relationship?
Well, it's very hard actually to be in a toxic relationship and hear somebody's advice and actually listen.
Yeah.
Because you are so blinded by whatever you're living, whatever stories you're telling yourself at that moment. Everybody around me was telling me that guy is not good for you, including my parents, everybody. But I never listened because for me, everybody was wrong because I am in the relationship. So I am the one seeing what's happening. I see the truth. And the day I realized I was not respected anymore in that relationship,
beautiful.
That's where I started being like, okay, what's happening in here? And for me, because respect is one of my core values.
Absolutely.
So for me, what actually would make you, so if somebody right now is stuck in a toxic relationship and they feel like they cannot get out of it, I think it's a beautiful, you know, exercise to start maybe listing down just your values. It's important to know your core values. And see if actually the actions that this partner actually is having towards you are aligned with your core values or not.
Yeah.
for me, that's basically what helped me, because at some point I was like, okay, one of my core values is freedom. I'm not free in this relationship. Mm. Because if I get married with this guy, I'm going to stay here. I was 23. Yeah. I was 23. It was 7 years ago. So crazy. So yeah. I was like, I'm going to stay in Morocco. I can't go abroad. But actually, my dream was to travel the world. I felt very restricted with him. One of my core values is love. Okay, this guy loves me, but it's so conditional. It's so like, if you don't do this, I don't love you anymore. You know, the punishment treatment.
Yeah.
If you don't do this, I won't, you know, love you anymore. That's actually a lot of parents, they do this as well with their kids without realizing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's very bad. That's actually what helped me open my eyes a little bit and wake up. But it took me time. It's not people that told me you need to get out of it, but I had to go through it myself. Right. And I arrived to a point, I reached a point where I couldn't do it anymore, where I was like, okay, I'm done. Mm. Actually, I don't see myself with this person anymore because I see myself as an ever-growing, evolving being. Mm. And with this guy, I'm stuck, literally stuck. Like, I can't move. And if I evolve a little bit, he puts me down. I was like, what the fuck is happening? So, yeah.
You were never going to grow.
Never.
I love, so you mentioned self-respect. If you feel like they don't respect you, then you need to wake up, because if they're not respecting you and you're letting that happen, then you're not respecting yourself. And you mentioned something about the actions, I believe, and I really want to pinpoint this, because a lot of people who come to my Instagram and want to vent to me about their toxic relationships is that they mistake words with actions. Yeah, but he tells me this.
Big one.
Yeah, but she tells me this, but he has told me this. Okay, but pay attention to the actions. Anyone can tell you loving words. Anyone can tell you what you want to hear. But you have to pay attention to the actions. Is it aligned with what they're telling you?
Yeah.
You have to wake up. I mean...
Yeah, so basically that's the first thing. You talked about red flags before.
Yeah.
For me, that's the biggest red flag you could see from the beginning.
Mm.
That's something I learned in the last relationship.
Yeah. You see them. You're just closing your eyes.
Yeah, so like, the last one, there was this huge red flag. But I really wanted to believe in that relationship because it was, you know, so dreamy and so beautiful. It was actually fulfilling so many sides of me, of my being, that I really wanted to believe in that relationship.
Yeah.
But the red flags were there.
Mm.
The talk was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so dreamy. I was like, oh my God, this is what I always dreamed about, you know? This is the perfect guy, my dream partner that I see myself growing with. Why am I basing all of this, actually? I was basing all of this on his talk.
Mm.
But the actions were not matching at all from the beginning. He would say something, do something different. How did my mind react? My mind would find excuses for his actions.
Thank you.
What the fuck?
Thank you.
My mind would constantly, because I put him in that spot, you know, in that pedestal of he is that guy that I was looking for.
Mm.
So whenever he was doing an action that was so wrong and so like against whatever core values I have, whatever beliefs I have.
You would give him excuses.
I would be like, no, but actually he said that. So probably he didn't mean that way.
Yeah.
Probably. So I would find him excuses all the time. I spent 4 months with that guy. And of course, at some point you just wake up. Yeah. It didn't take me 4 years this time.
Hey, you learned from the first one.
The first one took me 4 years, but I was still young.
The next one you'll realize in 1 month and it'll keep going. There's improvements.
No, next one has to be like one day.
One day, yeah. No. You see red flag, you're gone.
Gone.
No, you're right.
But yes, I really trust that relationships are the best, you know, the like an evolving tunnel where you go through a tunnel and you get out another person.
Mm.
It's as if like you go there to grow and then you go out, you know, so evolved.
Yeah.
For me, that's actually what relationships are. You get into a relationship.
Even friendships, right?
Even, of course, when I say relationships, for me, it's all kinds of relationships.
Yeah.
But love relationships even more.
Yeah.
Because there are like a lot of emotions involved. you get to experience yourself differently with this person in all the aspects of you. You merge, you, yeah, it's a different kind of relationship. So yes,
that's great. But was it something that you imagined for yourself, or how did it come? Was it natural that you started traveling? Or I mean, I looked at your LinkedIn and I know that the picture was very corporate.
I know.
You looked at my LinkedIn,
girl. Oh my God, you gotta put the photo there.
I will. I'll put a pop up. Beautiful corporate girl.
With the red lipstick, right?
Red lipstick, long hair. This is a completely different person. Whew. And I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You're now freelancing and you're living your dream life.
Wow.
I wanna know, what are the maybe the aspects that made you figure out your dream, your goal, your purpose?
Okay, so my dream, my purpose, I didn't know them at that point.
Yeah.
Of course. At that point, what I knew when I was 15, I didn't know much.
Right.
I would say more like when I was 20.
Yeah.
So when I was 20, all I wanted is, my dreams were very much based on people's dreams. I didn't know what was actually my own dream. So I dreamed of having this big, you know, brand and seeing people wearing my creations.
Yeah.
So I thought I wanted to work in fashion. So all my internships that I did at university were in fashion industry.
Okay.
I had like four internships, I think, or five in the fashion industry, because this is what I wanted to do. And at some point, my last year at uni, I realized that all I wanted to do is to travel. I just wanted to travel. And everybody was telling me, no, you cannot do that. You know, everybody, they were telling me, everybody is, you know, dreams of traveling.
I was
like,
about
this
to
is
say,
the dream
yeah.
of everyone, but yeah. you cannot make it happen. You have to work, you know, a normal job, and then you save money and then you travel.
But in 2023, in this generation, I feel like you
this
can definitely...
This is so different right now. Like, of course, you can do that. You can work from your laptop anywhere. But at that point, I didn't know. So I would say, to reply to your question very quick, I think the key here is that I always believed in myself. I didn't know what was my dream, but I had zero barriers. I had zero limitations. I am an adventurous.
Yeah.
So like anything I wanted to do, I would just go for it. I had zero notion of danger. Like so many things people would tell me, oh my God, you traveled alone there? How did you do this? Like, how did you get the, you know, the courage to actually do this thing?
You just
I just did it. I don't know. I wanted to do it and I did it. Going all the way to Malaysia, you know, on my own, looking for a job. I mean, I did everything on my own. And at that point, everybody around me was like, what, Malaysia? Yeah. Everybody goes to France. Everybody goes to the US. Like, why would you go to the other side of the world? You don't know anyone. You don't even speak their language. Like, what are you going to do there?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to go. It was supposed to be like a 1 year, you know, experience.
Yeah.
I was like, at the end of the day, it's 1 year. Okay.
Yeah. Let me try it out. Let me see how it goes.
If it doesn't work out, I'm just going to come back. That's it.
You see, that's the, I think a problem. A lot of people get stuck in this. They're like, they keep getting, you know, analysis paralysis. They start analyzing what they want to do so much that they get stuck in the problems. Oh, but what if this? What if that? But you said something that shows the confidence. The confidence is not that you think everything will be great, that you're perfect, you won't have any problems, everything will go just as planned. It's the fact that, like you said, you have the confidence that you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll just go and I'll see how it goes. If it doesn't, I'll go back. You know,
the confidence in life, for me, that's actually what I had. If everybody that was asking me, like, what was your drive? For me, it's the confidence in life. I mean, I trust life. I trust that life always brings you what is meant for you. I trust in destiny. I believe in destiny. So for me, whatever you want to plan, whatever you want to control, life will always give you what is meant for you. So what's meant for you will happen. If you run away from it, if you go for it, it will happen anyways. I mean, I learned this the hard way. I went through like so many things that made me be like, okay, actually I can plan out. And my relationship was part one of them. I had everything planned out. I was going to get married with this guy and blah, blah, blah. So my journey, my future was already
You wrote it for yourself. Yeah,
it was already like written for me.
For you, yeah.
And then at some point, it was all like, you know, it all shut off. It all like got destroyed. And I was like, oh my God. So all that life that I believed in was going to happen, just got destroyed in 1 second. And now I have no clue what am I going to do next? All my dreams changed. All my aspirations in life changed. And that's actually where I started going with the flow. And I was like, okay, right now I trust that the life is always bringing me the best my way. Maybe I'm going to learn it the hard way. If something bad even happens, it's never bad. It's actually bad to give you the good.
Absolutely.
My breakup looked bad. Oh, you're breaking up from from your engagement, whatever. But actually, when I look at it right now, it's because of that I got to live actually all this new, beautiful, dreamy, you know, life that actually you see on Instagram and that I live every day. So we have to, I think, go through the bad and the lows. I would say the lows. I don't really like to call them bad experiences because at the end of the day, they're not bad. They're just negative experiences. The negative is not the bad. They're just like negative, you know, experiences that you go through.
Like they're negative because they may not feel good.
Yeah.
But they're good because they teach you something.
Exactly. Yeah. They're negative because you go through sadness. You go through all these bad emotions again, you know, these low, unpleasant emotions that come and they take over your body. So you have to go through these things, you know, grief and whatever comes with it, to be able to go up again and start feeling the pleasant emotions again.
I love the mindset that you have around your life and how you're adventurous and you're like, you know what, I might as well try. And like you said, if it doesn't work out, then I'll figure out from there. That confidence that I will get through every struggle, that I will learn through every struggle. And I feel like that's the mindset that everybody needs to have, is that failures are not really failures. They teach you something. Hard experiences will teach you something, but you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Exactly. Thank you. That is actually the key. Being comfortable in the discomfort.
Yeah.
That's actually the key of life.
And a lot of people would say, I feel like people analyze too much what we say. They're like, okay, but how do I get comfortable with being uncomfortable? You start doing the uncomfortable until it gets comfortable. And I remember a specific instance where we go back to doing internal work without realizing, like I wasn't conscious of this work that I did, but I noticed like when I was hanging out with friends, there would be a little awkward, not even friends, anyone, you know, there would be a little awkward silence. And then I questioned, I was like, why am I so bothered with this awkward silence? What if I just get comfortable with the awkward silence instead of me trying to fill it in, instead of me trying to say something? The awkwardness as much as possible so I can start getting comfortable with it. So
that's amazing.
That would be, how do I get comfortable with being uncomfortable? Start doing. Stop thinking. Start doing actions that feel uncomfortable. And with time, I promise you, you will get used to it.
Exactly. So it doesn't get comfortable, but you get used to the discomfort.
Yeah.
Because
you're right.
It's still uncomfortable at times.
Yeah.
But then you get used to it and you're more okay with the discomfort.
I love that you precise that.
Yeah, because you know that the discomfort is actually coming for a reason.
Yeah.
So you let it come.
C'est vrai, genre, c'est naturel that you're going to feel a little uncomfortable if there's awkwardness, but just sit with it.
Yes.
Just be comfortable with the uncomfortableness.
And especially that life is not linear, right? So we go through, you know, ups and downs, and you might feel super joyful, super great at times. And then like you go through something big that would you know, throw you into darkness. Well, you would feel again, sadness, grief, whatever. In that discomfort, we have to keep this in mind, that actually we have to be comfortable with this discomfort that is happening right now and not try to run away from it, go out, party, drink, whatever, you know, and actually numb ourselves from whatever we are feeling.
I'm really glad you brought that up as emotions, because when I started in self-development, I have to admit I was in really toxic positivity. You know, I didn't know that I put emotions in bad and good. You know, I shouldn't feel sad. Let me try to be happy. Everything will be okay. But you're absolutely right that being happy doesn't mean that you don't feel the negative emotions. It's that you learn to accept those negative emotions, or whatever you may call them, sit with them, and just not get stuck in them. But if you don't want to get stuck in them, you have to accept them. Not try to resist this. Why do I feel sad? No, if you feel like you need to cry, you need to cry. If you feel sad, let it out. But just it depends on the situation. Give yourself how long you can let yourself in those emotions until you need to start taking action so you can start feeling better.
Exactly.
Right.
But also, so yeah. This is a very good point, mm-hmm. but also not letting ourselves rot in that negative.
Voilà.
As well.
Exactly.
Because sometimes what happens is that we get comfortable too much in the discomfort. That's also a very big, you know, trap, because we go through, especially when we go through something very, you know, very bad, very bad again. You know, it's a word actually that we have to remove from our.
Let's try
oh my God, no duality.
There's no neutral world. Yeah.
But yes, so when we go through like a very down moment, very dark times, we tend to get comfortable in those dark times because it's so hard to get out in the world again. We get comfortable in our Netflix and eating crap,
sleeping in
and not working and just staying in the dark and crying all the time. So it's needed to let all the emotions come into your body, feel them, release them, do the conscious work of releasing them. Because even staying in your room and watching Netflix, it is a way of numbing and dissociating from whatever you're feeling.
Dissociating, yes.
So for me, the toxic positivity that you're talking about, it's helping sometimes. You know, sometimes it's not that toxic to bring positivity into your life when you are not feeling well, when actually everything is breaking down. Sometimes it actually brings you so much, it helps you to put some makeup on, get out, see your friends, even if you're feeling shit inside of you, go see some friends. And actually it's going to bring a little joy into your heart.
Yeah.
It's going to give you a little energy. And you can do both. You can live both. You can go out with friends and party. Come back home and cry. Yeah. Actually, this is the balance that needs to happen.
Exactly.
For me, that's actually the right way to go through whatever things we're going through. But if we stay just, you know, waiting for the negative emotions to leave, that's never going to leave, because we are, you know, this body holds so much that we're not even aware of. Whatever we're bringing with us in our years on this earth, so much life we have lived here, and so many years, so many experiences, all these emotions, they stay in your body. And even if you don't feel them every day, when we go through something uncomfortable, these emotions are already here. This uncomfortable situation just comes and picks on that emotion.
Triggers it.
So the sadness comes up. So the grief comes up. But we already have it inside of us.
We have all emotions inside
of us. We have all of them.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad. Yeah, that's why actually it's great to, when it comes, emotions for me are the best lessons. When they come, they trigger something something triggers you, triggers some emotion. The emotion comes up, you welcome it.
Yeah.
You say, okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. Cool. Thank you. Bye. And you let it out. I feel like this is actually the good way of dealing with emotions.
Yeah.
Finding we're that tired here. Oh my God.
How many minutes?
Oh, it's been an hour, huh?
Almost. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's
what?
Amazing.
Okay. Let's wrap up.
It's great. Non, parce que je l'ai senti même quand je parle, j'ai comme, I started stuttering. Ça veut dire que je suis
fatiguée.
But it's okay. Like, we can keep going.
All right.
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying this talk. So
yeah, we're getting
stay
more
here
comfortable.
For like 2 years. Oh my gosh,
you know, you're tired, girl.
I mean, 2 more hours, I'm okay.
Okay, perfect. Rita, vraiment, t'as tout dit par rapport à finding the balance, because people mistake, like, you know, when I encourage people on Instagram and I tell them, if you're feeling bad, you need to move, you need to do something, anything. But at the same time, you know, I can't say everything in one video. I can't say, oh, do this and do that. And no, what I mean is, general, if we're going to overview what you just said, is welcome the negative emotions, whatever you're feeling. Cry if you need to. If you feel like you absolutely want to day in and sleep in, or whatever timeline you need for whatever you're going through, do it. But at one point, you got to push yourself. There is no, like you said, you can't rot in those feelings. At one point, you got to push. Like you said, if you just follow how you're feeling, you're never going to move.
Yeah.
You're going to keep getting comfortable with that laziness, with those negative emotions. You're going to start victimizing yourself. At one point, you're going to be like, you know what? I need to get my up. Yeah. And I need to put some makeup on, or I need to go out with my friends, or I need to meditate. I need to do something to help myself. And that's what I'm trying to get to people. You need to help yourself, because if you don't help yourself, you're just going to get stuck in it. You're just going to stay rotten, like you said, in that place.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Rita. I feel like we talked about so many different subjects, but it was beautiful talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
I think we brought so many great things into the conversation. If you guys enjoyed this, let us know in the comments. Yeah. If you want us to do another episode, we have so many things in mind that we want to talk about. And I just want to end with one thing that I believe I'm going to make my guests do it every time. But guys, if you have any ideas of what a signature question or exercise or game I can do with my guests at the end, please give me ideas. Yeah. But if you were just going to give, like if I were going to give you a paper and I would tell you, write a word for a stranger, anything that comes into mind, maybe it would be something that you would wanted to hear at one point in your life. What would have been that thing that I will read to the next guest, by the way?
For me, it would be trust yourself. If I, like, if 5 years ago somebody came and gave me a paper with trust yourself, I think that would have, you know, helped me a lot. And because so many times I found myself very lost in my own thoughts, in the noise of the surroundings. You know, people always try to tell you who to be. Yeah. The world tries to tell you who to be. So it's very hard to stay connected to your truth. And sometimes you just need this little trust yourself, trust your gut.
Trust your intuition. Trust what you want to do.
Just go. Go for it.
I love that. Perfect ending. Thank you so much, Rita, once again.
Thanks to you for having me.
Out.